This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, for all your game day needs. We are live here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford, Sunbury Motors Kia. Sunbury Motors Ford in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. Sunbury Motors Kia, Hummel's Wharf. Hit the quick lane in, for all your car care needs in Sunbury. Oh, Sunbury Motors Kia.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to be going over there Saturday.
Oh.
Not the quick lane, but to Sunbury Motors Ford. How about that? Now, do we have Neil this half hour or is it in the final hour?
Neil is on the phone right now.
Oh, there we go. Well, my day becomes exponentially more complete when I get a chance to at least spend a few extra minutes with my good friend Neil Coulong, sir. Thanks so much for your time, as always. We really appreciate you.
Well, as always, it's great to be here, and this is the best. We love this show, right? The post-draft wrap-up, everything that happened. It's a kind of a new day in the NFL. You got to love that feeling.
Yeah, and it's a new day for the Steelers. They went offensive line right out of the gate, going to Washington, Pitano, and to get Frazier out of West Virginia. Your thoughts on what they did in rounds one and two up front?
I thought Pitano was an absolute gift, and one that I don't think the Steelers can say that they have had the pleasure of receiving since David DeCastro fell in 2012. I mean, really, they haven't been. I don't think you refer to it as underdrafting so much, but when you put it in light to Jarvis Jones and the overdraft that they might have been guilty of the next couple seasons after DeCastro. Fatano, I honestly, I don't even know if I should say this as a professional. I was shocked when I saw the name because I was certain he was drafted by that point. I mean, there's no reason why that guy should be going 20 overall. I don't care how long his arms are. The talent level that he has is simply well above 20th overall.
Yes.
I think in certain contexts, we don't talk about this, for linemen nearly as much as we probably should, unless they have something significant about them. But he might be the biggest steal in the draft, just simply because this is a guy, he's got top 10 ability. I think on physical traits, maybe you say 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there, but seven spots in the first round is utterly ridiculous. For a player as good as he is, for a position of arguably, I say that very loosely, arguably immediate need, absolutely future need. It's easily the best pick the Steelers have had in a long time, all things considered. And that's not a knock against anybody, especially against Broderick Jones, an excellent talent in his own right, who probably fell because he doesn't have what Fatanu has as far as his immediate skill set. Fatana will show up and probably be the best tackle on the team.
Yeah.
To get that at 20, that's exceptional. And then on top of it, I've put a lid on this just because I didn't think there was a way in the world that Zach Frazier was going to fall to 51 overall. But that's a home run pick. You're talking about the absolute perfect player that the Steelers need. Once again, don't care how long his arms are. He's going in the second round. That's completely fine. The value of that for the Steelers, the struggles that they have had at the center position and how valuable it's going to be to get an immediate plug-and-play, higher-level player with a ceiling that we can't see in the scheme that they run, the character that he has, the level of intensity that he plays with, it's a dream come true, honestly. I have to compare it to last year, and I was gushing over last year's draft as well. I'd like to say that panned out pretty well for the Steelers for reasons that I thought it would happen. I think they might have been better this year.
Yeah.
And for that to happen 2 years in a row, you've got something when you're going with this. Granted, we're always going to come back to the quarterback, and maybe we'll dampen our enthusiasm if we bring it up now. But they made their offensive line mediocre. They went from mediocre at best to potentially one of the five best units in the league quickly.
Yeah.
And I think by year two, you're looking at maybe the best unit in the league. For all that they have that's there, I mean, health is a concern, of course, but Frazier and Fatanu are both phenomenal football players. Maybe they're not prototypically sized, but these are really good football players, and they perfectly fit what the Steelers have been begging their team to do through multiple offensive linemen, multiple offensive line coaches, three coordinators now. They're going to be able to put all of that together this year, and they that's going to greatly improve the overall efficacy of their offensive line, of their offense in general.
Now, Fatano, all I know is what I saw of him, you know, like in the Pac-12 championship game and the two playoff games. Frazier, obviously, I took a long look at because Penn State opened with West Virginia last year, and Jack Ham and I could not rave enough about what we saw from him. So I thought he was a home run pick. And as I always love that, well, he's a mauler and he's this, he's that. You know what? You know what he does basically well, too? He gets the ball back on time to the quarterback in the shotgun snap. Nobody ever talks about that.
The fact that he can do that and he's up ready to block because the last time the Steelers invested a top 100 pick in a center, they drafted a guard who couldn't do it.
That's right.
Used for two seasons. Frazier is the best center the Steelers have had easily since Pouncey, and he hasn't even stepped foot in the field yet.
Right.
But I agree with you. He is born to play that position. He can get up, get his hands ready, and he seeks violence. I mean, he is a physical, mean player. He gets down the field. He's looking to punish somebody. That's the kind of guy you can spearhead a run game around. That's the type of guy that rallies his teammates. Everything about him is like I watched like five snaps and I was like, this guy's really good. I mean, he's exceptional for a college center. And the more you watched him, the more you thought Pittsburgh Steelers. This guy's perfect.
Yeah.
Again, they're to at least try to bracket the bottom side of this. Not an exceptional athlete, which is really what caused him not to go in the first round. And he doesn't have ideal length. There is something to be said about that in certain schemes. If he's able to get to a defensive tackle, especially coming off of the snap quickly, that's great. If he has long arms, he has even more of an advantage to do that. He's not prototypical in that way, but he's not deficient either. So really a horizontal scheme, a zone scheme, which the Steelers have run, he's exceptional. He can get his face across the guy in front of him with a step. He has excellent technique. He uses his hands very well. He punches guys, and they move. And he's looking for that on every single play. He's just a phenomenally tough player. I couldn't be more excited. I didn't think there was a way in the world he was going to fall to 51. He's a much better player than that. But again, I get the measurables. That's largely what you're drafting. You teach them how to play football when they become a pro. But I don't think Zach Frazier needs a whole lot of education that he's not going to pick up. Being a day one starter and hopefully a starter for several years for this team.
They go into round three. And they take a guy I think can be a slot receiver for them for several years, a guy I would be really familiar with. That's Roman Wilson. What did you think about that pick based on already having Pickens and others?
You know, I felt it was kind of telegraphed. Like, you know, that was kind of the chatter. Everyone's thinking that. I think they really wanted to add a receiver, and I think Wilson's probably the right fit at that spot. But it, exactly what you said is what was really interesting to me. The Steelers don't even draft slot receivers. You know, they sign them right on the dirt cheap. It's not a position they've prioritized much. That's not to say that they don't get players that can be effective in the slot, but last year, for example, they played Allen Robinson in the slot and threw him the ball 50 times, I think.
Right.
They paid for him. They gave up assets for him. Maybe they're looking at it differently. Maybe, you know, within Arthur Smith's vision for the offense, they want to include a bit more, you know, dynamic playmaking ability out of the slot. I think Wilson fits for that, and certainly, you know, not the biggest guy you're going to find. Because of that, he kind of becomes not a liability, but sort of locked in. Like, there's not a whole lot of places he can really go at the pro level because of his size. But excellent, tough football player. You love that about him. He doesn't care how big he is. He's going to go block in the run game. He's going to fight for balls down the middle. He's a good seam running, instinctive wide receiver. Again, you're looking at a high-end athlete with perhaps not the physical traits that you would want in a receiver, but he fits a role for you in the slot. I really think the Steelers wanted that for, you know, perhaps more 11 personnel. I don't think he would be on the field in 12, but he's a competitive guy. He's a tough guy. There's a lot to like about him. Oddly enough, though, the guy that I wanted is the guy they took with the second, third round pick. So
yeah,
I was through the roof by that point. And it, you know, you look at Peyton Wilson. I don't want to say that he's Ryan Shazier, but at the same time, he's got the same type of build, kind of that you know, mid heavyweight wrestler sort of build. He's long. Highly athletic, a real long speed kind of guy, but he's got exceptional quickness from gap to gap. Probably his best strength, and this is why the Steelers drafted Ryan Shazier back in the day where they did. He has coverage ability. This is a guy that can handle tight ends coming across the middle and zone. He might even be able to line up in the slot a little bit against different packages. He's a great weapon within an offense that, or a defense that got a lot better by signing Patrick Queen. You know, it might suggest maybe Cole Holcomb is not quite going to be long for this game. Obviously, he signed a 3-year contract last year, a terrible injury right when he was starting to hit his stride. It was a lot of fun watching him play before he got hurt. The defense struggled without him for sure. The value, though, of Wilson at that spot, either Wilson, really, I think is pretty considerable, especially when you stack that on the value they got in rounds 1 and 2. I you know, this is very fanish of me to say, but I think we're going to be debating for a long time what was better, 23 or 24. I think they got two high-end classes back-to-back because these are really good football players and they're great athletes. So to me, the optimism in Pittsburgh is real. You know, they might be a piece away. I'm not saying Super Bowl, but I think they're going to be a better team this year than they were last year. And I think the future over the next 2 years is pretty exceptional. I think they're on a great path now. And the top four picks over the last two seasons combined, putting them both on the cheap over the next 3 years is going to produce some pretty remarkable results, I think.
So now let's merge everything together. Based on how they set the table in the free agency portion, and now you merge it with the draft, and those two phases change the makeup of your football team, what do you think the Steelers are right now when you merge those two?
I think it's funny. I had a conversation with somebody about this today because you sort of wonder about selection bias. Do we think this is a great draft because these are the exact needs we felt the Steelers had? Does that necessarily make them needs? You know, is this really a problem? Right. I think in back-to-back years, you now have two opportunities to remove the worst player on your offense, which is Dan Moore, from your starting lineup. I don't think he has to start. I think they get an upgrade there. Whoever's at left and right tackle, I don't know. They'll figure that out. But Broderick Jones and Troy Fatanu are both better players, or are going to be better players than Dan Moore would be. Not a position they addressed in free agency. And people talked about that, so it was kind of like, all right, well, they must be looking at a tackle to at least compete for a starting spot. Or they're going to say, we want to roll the dice with Dan Moore one more year while he's cheap, let him walk and have developed a player. They used to do that all the time. Third, fourth round player with high athleticism, good upside, maybe can't play right away. But they, in back-to-back years, they got high-profile tackles to be able to come in and play. Took Jones a little bit, some flaws in his game even up to the end, but there's a ton of upside. You can see why they traded up to get him. That makes your offense better as a whole. Along with that, they kicked the tires on, what, five centers? They talked to, like, five veteran centers, didn't sign any of them.
Right.
So it was like, okay, well, they're probably going to go with a center in the draft. It's a good center class. The top three centers who are here I really like, and I think, in my mind's eye, I think they would have gone with Dukes, Graham, Barton, had Fatanu not been available.
Right.
Not my favorite player. Zach Frazier is not the athlete or as big as Barton is, but Zach Frazier is a better football player now. Mm-hmm. I think that can project out. Not to make it too convenient, but Jason Kelce was a sixth round pick because he was too stubby. You know, I think he did okay. You know, it's a matter of the intensity, the want to some degree. I think Frazier has a lot of that. Barton's a great athlete. He could have played center for a year, and then they could have dipped back into that in free agency or the draft and moved him to guard. He could be a good player. I can see that, but I really don't think he has as much upside, even with the athletic profile that he has, as Frazier does. A position, though, that they did not address in free agency and let it ride in the draft, and look what they got. Quarterback was probably the other position that people would have thought they would address. Certainly wide receiver that they got with Roman Wilson, but I don't know if they have a 130-plus target guy on their roster. Is that not something they're looking to utilize anymore? I don't remember a time they haven't had a receiver like that. I mean, even when Deontay Johnson was a rookie, he got the ball a bunch. I don't know who that'll be. Maybe they're not done yet either. But they addressed the things that they needed, added some value. Certainly their first five picks at positions that if they don't need immediately, they probably need this season or next season. And I think that's what Peyton Wilson represents. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with Holcomb. You sign Queen for a bit. He's your money guy. You've got the other linebacker playing on a cheaper contract. He can probably get in, later on this season, if not earlier than that, but definitely by next season. So you have an option away from Holcomb if the money there isn't going to work anymore. But I feel like these are the needs we thought they had, and it seems like it matched with what the Steelers wanted to do. But what I know is 2 years in a row, they brought in exceptional talent at positions that they needed. And everyone's going to grumble, they should have done this. Everyone always cries for a cornerback. I get it. They invested in a cornerback last season. They just traded for one, the guy they got back for Deontay Johnson. They have guys that can play cornerback, and you still have free agency. They have some money remaining if they want to make another move somewhere at cornerback or wide receiver. So I think another excellent offseason for the Steelers at this point. You got to put it all together, of course, but the needs seem to fit where they went in free agency, and they had the right vision in mind for the draft to address the things that they really wanted to get addressed. And it fell to them brilliantly.
So you're saying Zach Frazier down the road will have an opportunity to be one of the hosts of Monday Night Countdown. Okay, so if finally, you can't read minds, but if you were Russell Wilson, how much better do you feel about the team around you compared to the day you signed?
If I was Russell Wilson, I don't know I would ever have felt bad about anything the way that he kind of carries himself. I think in a critical evaluation of it, the fact that you literally didn't have a center probably would have concerned him at some point.
Yeah.
You took a pretty good one, a very, very smart one, one that can be the leader of your offensive line, a very getting much younger offensive line. He can be a standout player pretty quickly into his career. You have to like that. To make a cheap joke, Graham Barton's 6'5". I don't know if Russell Wilson wants to stand behind a 6'5" center,
right,
when he can have a 6'2" one in front of him. Easy, wonk, wonk, I get it. Overall, I think the weapons that he has to be excited about. I think Russell Wilson's kind of a Lockett-like player, that seam attacker guy that can get down the field. He likes that seam throw. He throws the ball deep pretty well. George Pickens is one of the best, if not the best, deep receivers in the game. He's got that going for him. The tight ends, depending on how they want to utilize Freiermuth, a lot of three tight end sets, I would think. They're going to run that jumbo. But overall, I think Russell Wilson probably figures assume that he plays 17 games, he's going to throw less per game, I think, than he has since he was a rookie.
Yeah.
That's the style I think the Steelers want to play, and that has to make him feel pretty good because he's going to be throwing against loaded boxes pretty often, and he's got good weapons around him. So I think he's in a very good position to just kind of play the hits. He doesn't have to do much. He can do a lot to wreck the course of the game, but I think he's going to be put in a lot of very manageable situations, and they'll have a good idea of how to attack that with a very diverse set of weapons that they have.
My friend, always, always a pleasure. Always look forward to every Tuesday. You make it special. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Kulong. Final half hour. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Your home, whether it's an athlete or a business, name, image, and likeness. That's right. You can get your journey started by going to NILGameChangers.org. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's trivia question is, what do Stephen Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant all have in common? This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Tremendous, because customer service means everything to them. And not only that, they want to save you money wherever they can. That's because of the customer service part. So they want to make sure you're fully insured, and they want to make sure that that you are taken care of insurance-wise. They're the best in the business. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA will be Wednesday, August 7th. So start making your plans and register now. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. LeBron, Steph, and Durant.
All in Cabo.
All out of the playoffs. Yes, sir. Gone. So now the NBA is sitting there with the, oh no, what do we do now? The Knicks are a draw because they're the Knicks. The Celtics are a draw because they're the Celtics. The Nuggets are the defending champions. Who else is a draw out there? Are you telling me Oklahoma City is a draw? That they have players? I know Alexander's a great player, but is he a draw? No. Anthony Edwards is a great player. Is he a draw? Not really. I mean, you keep going through the list, and you're like, I'm so sure about this. Celtics have Tatum. Jaylen Brown's had a great year, but, you know, Tatum's the recognizable guy to the average fan. Brunson, great player, but is he have that crossover feeling? Wait, Indiana, I don't care what they are. You can boost Halliburton all you want, but, like, the vast majority of America has no idea who he is.
I would guess Indiana's most famous basketball player right now is Caitlin Clark. So
yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. I mean, this is, as much as they want to tell you these guys are stars, you know, Doncic is a star. So let's give credit where credit's due. And the fans do know who Kyrie Irving is. But it's for the NBA, they're looking around going, uh-oh. We have a problem right when their rights are coming up. Now, the lifeline on rights is this group called Comcast NBC Universal.
For the C package.
I don't know if they're going for the C package.
I just read something. It's $2.5 billion a year for the C package.
Well, they want... No, what they want is what TNT's package is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, right now, TNT's average rights fee is $1.2 billion a year. And believe me, Warner Brothers Discovery, they are fighting to maintain this. NBC wants to pay $2.5 billion for NBA games. Now, they also have the ability with Peacock, which, again, Okay. So, ESPN and ABC is probably going to pay in the neighborhood of $2.6 billion. So that's up from $1.4 billion now. So they're almost going to double it. Under the new deals, this is what I love about this. The TV partners would actually air fewer games. And the reason that they would do that is because they're trying to get Amazon Prime as a streamer. The league's negotiations with its streaming and TV partners are, quote, fluid. And the parties are still haggling over who gets the rights over the most high-profile games and series. Amazon would likely get a share of the conference finals alongside the other partners, and Disney's ABC is on track to maintain the rights for the NBA finals. If you're going to pay $2.6 billion, you should be. The question is, what are you going to do about Warner Brothers Discovery, a.k.a. Turner? Because they want to pay a lot of money. And NBC's bid includes both regular season and playoff games. And they would not only plan to air these games on NBC, but also some on Peacock. They also are discussing carrying two primetime games a week. Okay. Now, Warner Brothers Discovery, Now, this is the key. Warner Brothers Discovery does have the right to match any third-party offer, according to the Wall Street Journal.
I read somewhere that that NBC Universal offer is the amount of money that TNT makes in carriage fees. So that would be all of their carriage fees. That's a hefty amount of money if they want to keep the NBA.
It is. But then again, it would be a major blow to them because they have their upcoming sports streaming venture with Disney and Fox.
Oh, boy.
Right? So, I mean, look, TNT, this is what they already have. They already have the NBA. They have NASCAR. They have the NHL. They have March Madness. Now, TBS, which is a part of the group as well. Remember, they have Major League Baseball in the playoffs. So, part of... You talk about the carriage fees. The NBA has always been a major draw for distributors, which they felt justified the premium for carrying Warner Brothers Discovery channels. If they don't have it, they then face, you talked about carriage fees, they would face lower carriage fees and would impact the overall revenue. See where I'm going there?
I mean, those cables struggling as it is, I don't know how TNT handles not having the NBA. How's that?
It's, I think as a company, remember I've gone through this nice to have, must have. There's certain properties that are nice to have. Right? And in basketball, for ESPN, it's nice to have the WNBA. Do they have to have it? Please. Let's be real. Okay, let's take our heads out of the clouds here. Do they need to have the WNBA? No. Is it nice to have the WNBA? Absolutely. The NBA is not under the category of nice to have, and especially for Warner Brothers Discovery, they need to have it. By the way, if you want to get the Olympics, and you don't want to just watch NBC say, you know, I mean, the suit is so excited over Paris. He's been speaking French in the station.
Right.
Now, none of the words are actually French, but he uses a French accent to say them. He's a scary dude.
It's just him walking around doing the beginning of Lady Marmalade.
Oh. He's been singing Alouette, Junte Alouette for 2 weeks. All right. Well, guess what? Peacock is going to see a $2 increase to subscription prices for customers this year. The plan is for it to be installed prior to the Olympics. If you want ad-supported, it will be $7.99 a month, up $2. If you want it without ads, it's $13.99 a month. The changes will begin for new subscribers July 18th, will be implemented for existing customers on August 17th.
I think if you get all the streaming services at this point, it's just the same as cable.
Yes, it is. I have talked to students in my class, and they said, for all the streaming services that you pay for, how much are you paying? And it's the same, if not more, than cable. It's ridiculous.
Well, they found out that they need the commercials, and now, yeah, I don't think any, like, yeah, you said Peacock was $13 throughout. You have to have commercials now on Prime. There is no non-commercial option.
That's right.
On Amazon Prime.
I'll say this for Amazon Prime. They get to it and get out of it.
Yes.
All right.
But it's funny when you have a 9-year-old that's not used to commercials, just amazed that now she has to watch commercials.
Yeah. And what's amazed to you is that suddenly out of nowhere she wants to buy that. All right,
wow.
So
that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah. Not right now. Enjoy the show. But the NBA is the last big one of this decade. I think everybody else is all settled. Trying to think of anybody else.
Now, technically, the college football isn't settled, but there isn't anybody anywhere anybody else can get it right now, right?
Well, college football playoffs settled.
Is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not settled. No, that is settled.
I thought that
That's $1.3 billion a year. I think they're if they're not settled, they're that close to settling. And go ahead, Todd.
Oh, well, I was going to say is I think, remember the report was premature, and then It's not, they said it wasn't quite signed yet, so I don't know if they've gotten to the point of signed yet, but my point was is I don't think anybody can get it right now, though. It's not like anybody's going to jump in all of a sudden and beat ESPN.
Yeah, it's going to be $1.3 billion a year, and they have the option, ESPN, to farm out a game or two, which in all likelihood they will farm out the Friday night, December 20th game, and they would farm out the New Year's Eve game. That would be my guess if they were to do it. But I think the number is $1.3 billion. The men's basketball tournament's $1.1 billion. And this is what I was talking about with somebody earlier today. Women's basketball had a tremendous run. Great ratings, most viewership ever. Women's championship game beat out the men's championship game on viewership. And guess what it also did? This is these dirty little secrets. Okay? Guess what the women's basketball tournament also did this year? Lost money. Again, that tournament loses more money than several other NCAA championships combined. And it's nobody wants to talk about it, but it's a fact. It's a fact. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, nasty me. We try to deal in facts so that people understand what really is going on. That's all we're trying to do here. The men's basketball tournament gets a $1.1 billion fee for for carrying the games. Right? Women's basketball got a huge boost to $65 million. Okay, in other words, the $1.1 billion, the $0.1 billion is higher than the women's tournament. Now, is that fair? Is it right? I can't. I'll leave to other people as to what they think about it. But the overall tournament, because it's not just the Iowa games. The Iowa games drew great ratings no matter what. Right? No matter what. But there are other games played in the tournament. At other venues. And it's like, nobody wants to talk about it, but the bottom line is, they lost money on it. Again. That's impossible. Yeah, it's very possible. So that's why you got to be careful with some of these rights fees as to what they do. That's why the NBA is the last big one out there. I don't know. So this NBC thing, 2.58, but again, Warner can match it, which is the key part of this. And you're right about the carriage fees. Absolutely. Because carriage fees are a big reason why the men's tournament got to $1.1 billion. CBS needed Turner's carriage fees to combine with their bid to get them over the top to win it the last time.
The interesting part to me is, Warner Discovery and other parts of its business, movie and other things, is really struggling. Is can they come up with the money to match that?
And that part I can't answer, but it sounds like they put in a hefty bid. I mean, look, what's hurt ESPN over the years? I mean, some of the Disney stuff. Oh, Disney! It's not every Disney movie is a champion. Okay, they've lost money on some of their movies. I mean, like, lost a ton on some of their movies. And that's when you see the layoffs. Part of it's not because of what ESPN's doing. And part of it is they're reacting to the total company known as Disney, because they've lost money on certain things. I mean, the streaming part of it. I mean, Peacock went from losing $620 million to last year losing $690 million. Now, they'll tout that as an improvement. It is. But you still took $690 million and just put it in the middle of the field and burned it.
That would be $1.2 billion combined, yes.
Yeah. Right? So, in other words, they're losing less money than before, but, boy, they're losing a ton of money. I mean, that's the Peacock number. They went from 720 to 690. It's like, hey, we're getting better. Okay, I guess you are. Would have been nice if you made 690. That way you'd only be behind 30 million, but that's all right. That's a big number. And that's what you're talking about, rights. The rights fees? Ooh. In the NBA regular season, I mean, is that worth it?
No. Probably not.
I don't know. I know very few people that watch it. Very few people. I know very few people are watching this round. So I don't know. But, look, the NBA's done a great job positioning itself. And remember I said they wanted triple? They're not going to triple. And, you know, well, they might through addition triple. Because ESPN's looking to double their numbers slightly. TNT would be going 2 to 2.5 times if they have to match NBC's bid. The fact that NBC wants to get involved in it, hey, give them something. Take the money. Amazon will give the money. They'll probably end up tripling everything. And then the Lakers can draft Bronny and they can keep LeBron.
So I saw we're going through that whole rigmarole again where he doesn't know what he's doing.
After a while, certain things get old.
Yes.
Okay. When it gets to the point on something or somebody, and you just sit there and go, who cares? Okay. You've now lost whatever aura you had. Like, oh yeah, here we go. Who cares? Whatever. Whatever he decides. I don't care if he stays or goes. Because people are getting sick of it. Yeah, they're getting sick of it. Well, this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai. North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.